W.R. Cullum. Now, most of you have never heard of W.R. Cullum. Any of you ever heard of W.R. Cullum? Raise your hand. Dr. Cullum, I suppose, taught Bible at Wake Forest for maybe 50 years. He was an old man when I came upon the scene, really got to know him. But a man of great wisdom and a man of great character. I had him to preach in my church one time. He was over 80 years old at the time. He sat down in a chair on the pulpit and talked. But my, the wisdom that would come from that man's heart and life. He prepared a paper at the request of some preachers at Wake Forest about some essentials in the ministry. And I want to read you just a statement or two. He said there are three essentials for all ministers of Christ. Be a gentleman, be a Christian, be what you are. I think those are three great principles when you stop to think about it. A minister ought to be a gentleman, a Christian, and be who you are, the way God has made you. Now, in this business of being a gentleman, let me just read from this man. He said, a man should be a gentleman even if he is a preacher. A man who has served as a waiter in a dining room to help pay his expenses in college bore this testimony seriously. Of all the men with whom I dealt in my capacity as a waiter, the hardest to please and get along with were the preachers. Again, a refined Christian woman who sold tickets in a bus station said there was one man she always dreaded to see come to the window for a ticket. He was a minister of the gospel of Christ. Who has not gone into hotels, into restaurants, and into various public places to observe ministers blustering around as if they were the lords of creation and lords that reflected serious discredit on their calling as ministers of him who said, I am meek and lowly in heart. What Dr. Cullum is saying is, first of all, we've got to be somebody. As a minister, we've got to be someone. I have here a little book that I don't know where I got that. Barry knows my filing system, and I just stick everything in a file, everything that comes from. And here was a book someone gave me somewhere along the way. What's wrong with preaching today? Did you give me that book? And it's a very helpful little book. And the first part of it, he talks about the preacher or the minister in general. He says an area of failing is the area of practical piety. The minister of many a church is being terribly hampered by the absence of practical piety in the life of the teaching elder. This is a Presbyterian writing, so he calls the teacher, the preacher, the teaching elder. He said that the problem in the church is the piety in the life of the preacher. It is significant, he says, that in 1 Timothy 3, it speaks of the man of God, first of all, to be blameless. I want us to turn to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. 1 Timothy 3. Paul said, if a man desires the office of a bishop, we say that word bishop means pastor, preacher, in our terminology today, or I think we could put it in the light of a minister of any sort. If a man wants to be a minister, he desires a good thing, says Paul. But he must be blameless. The husband of one wife. That's where we get in trouble ordaining women with that particular verse. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, not given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well over his house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Those verses simply reinforce what I'm trying to say. First of all, we've got to be something. We've got to have a character that reflects itself out in life, everybody, in everyday life, so everybody can see what it is to be a Christian. This is primary. I don't care how many techniques you have. I don't care of all the methods that you use. If you're not a real man or a real woman of God, everything else is not. I've had a lot of difficulty with this word character. I've really struggled with this for a long time. I've got the dictionary out last week when I was working on this, and I found that the dictionary had 16 different definitions of character. So then I began to realize maybe why I was having so much difficulty with the word itself. I've never been able to really latch on to a good definition. I picked out 5 of the 16 here. Number 2 there, it's an essential quality. Number 3, the pattern of behavior or personality found in an individual or group. But you see, you could have a bad character as well as a good character, if it's simply a pattern of behavior. So you've got to define that pattern of behavior. Moral strength, reputation. None of these really help me in my definition. I pulled out a book that's blessed me as much as most any book that I've ever read, The Character of Jesus by Jefferson. Have any of y'all ever read that book? Are you familiar with that book? Jefferson was a Presbyterian preacher at the turn of the century, a tremendous man of God. He's got several great books. In his book, he says this, when he talks about the character of Jesus. By character, I mean the sum of the qualities by which Jesus is distinguished from other men. His character is the sum total of his characteristics, his moral traits, the features of his mind and heart and soul. We are to think about his quality, his temper, his disposition, the stamp of his genius, the notes of his spirit, and the form of his conduct. Now, after I'd done all of that, I finally wrote down my definition of Christian character. And if you want to take it down, here it is. This, to me, is a statement of what Christian character really is. The sum total of all those thought and behavior patterns which reflect the glory of Jesus in a man. Christian character, the sum total of all those thought and behavior patterns which reflect the glory of Jesus in a man. In other words, if I had genuine Christian character, people are going to see Jesus in me, living out through me, in what I say, what I do, what I think, and what I act. My total life is an expression of Jesus. Now, here's the second sentence on that definition. Did you get the first? Anybody else want that again? It is an achievement in which man and God cooperate to produce. It is an achievement which man and God cooperate to produce. Now, to me, that's an important part of the statement, because Christian character isn't something that I try to strive to do myself. It's a gift of God. And yet, there is a part that man must play to develop this character. So it's a work on my part and God together. Now, I think this is illustrated most clearly in 2 Peter 1. Let's turn this. I want you to see this. This passage really blessed my heart when I began to delve into this thing of Christian character, of trying to be something for the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter says, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see, this says all of these things that pertain to life and godliness come from God. Now, underline two things there. One, power. His divine power. Now, you're talking about the power that made all this vast universe. You're talking about the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, all of this divine power has been given to us in order that all things, underline all, that's the other word, everything pertaining to life and godliness can be developed in us. Notice that verse 4. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Why? That ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You see, God imparts to us this divine nature. As we open our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ's nature becomes a part of our nature. And what happens? Notice verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. Now, see, that's the other side of the story. It flows from God. And yet he says you must give all diligence. You just can't sit down and say, well, now, Lord, just let all this happen. There's something that man must do to cooperate with God to build this Christian character. We open our lives. We begin to make effective these qualities of life. Now, I want you to notice those qualities. I think this is a good list of Christian characteristics. He says, give all diligence. That means just to give every energy that you have to the building of this character, which God wants to impart. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Now let's just stop there just a minute. I used to think this was a stepladder, that here was faith, here was virtue, here was knowledge, and you just kept going up the ladder until you finally had accomplished all eight of these things, and then you had Christian character. But I don't think that's the picture here. I think it's the picture of a rope. A rope is made of a number of small strands of string put together. You keep winding those strands together. And I think these are quality, all the while that you're working on your virtue, all the while that you're working on your knowledge and temperance, you're adding faith, you're adding love. You're putting all of these together at one time. I think that's the picture here. These are wonderful qualities. Faith, virtue really means manliness. You think of Daniel in the lion's den when you think of virtue. Knowledge, temperance, that means everything is under control of the Lordship of Jesus. Every area of our life. That's not just alcohol, tongue, sex, eating. The whole gamut is in temperance, self-control, patience, godliness. Godliness is simply like God. Brotherly kindness, charity. These are qualities then that are to be reflected in one who has this Christian character. So I wanted you to try to get hold of a definition. It's a sum total of all that we are in Jesus Christ. Now, this next point I had on your sheet simply reminds you that it's the most important thing that you can have. What is God? God ultimately is character. He's spirit. But God ultimately is person. God ultimately is being. And when he made man, he made him in his image, which means he has the quality of being, and gave man the quality to develop those things that are like himself. That's the thing that distinguishes man from everything else, is he has the quality to be something, not just do something. It's important because it's the ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is not try to go out here and win someone to Jesus, get them baptized, get them in the program of the church. Your ultimate goal in working with young people is to develop that young person until he becomes like Jesus. You see? We have to be something then before we can bring them up to where they are. And that simply leads to this next point, that everything in life must be measured in terms of this goal of trying to make someone like unto Jesus. That's a big statement. That means all the resources of this world are secondary to making character. That means everything in life that moves along ultimately has as its goal developing character. Everything must be judged in terms of making this person what he ought to become. And the last thing I mentioned on that point was it's imperishable. Have any of you seen this exhibit of the relics from King Tut's tomb? Did any of you, have you had any chance? It's been touring the United States. It's been a big deal, you remember? Washington and been to New Orleans, I believe, lately. I happened to be in Egypt a number of years ago and went to the museum in Cairo and saw all these artifacts. It's tremendous. You can't imagine everything that they put in the tomb for this young prince. And all, somebody said that if the wealth could be put in terms of dollars and was invested back in those days in a bank at 3%, while when it was discovered back in the 20s, it would be worth $3 trillion. He was a young man, King Tut, a prince really, and all of life was just to get these things together to put in this tomb. These are valuable pieces. And they're interesting to look at. A contemporary of Tut was a man named Moses. Moses never collected gold and silver. Moses built character. And the character of Moses will last forever. He doesn't need the silver and gold of Tut's tomb. He has something far more invaluable, character. He became what God wanted him to become. Now, when we begin to talk about character, what are some of the marks? We've already looked at a passage in Scripture in 2 Peter, which gave a list of characteristics. Dr. Dobbins, in his book, Deepening the Spiritual Life, listed 7 qualities of Christian character that I think are helpful for us to review just for a moment. He says, first of all, one who has Christian character is committed to the doing of the will of God. More than anything else, Lord, what would you have me do? Second, he's enlisted in the service of others. He's the Good Samaritan, if you please. He appreciates spiritual values. There's so much that's temporal, so much that's material these days. There's so many things that will attract a man's attention. But the man who has Christian character is concerned but one thing, that's the spiritual values of life, in art, literature, music, wherever it is. For he's controlled by the principle of right. I put out beside that Philippians 4:8. You're very familiar with that passage in Philippians. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, think on these things. We're beginning to put into our minds only the direction of that which is right and honest and true. He's guided by the motive of love. He's poised and calm under pressure. That was Jesus. He had all kinds of pressure, but he was always calm, he was always poised, he was collected. And his loyalty to Christ and the kingdom of Christ must never be doubted if he has Christian character. Now, this next section down here, I simply wanted to come at it from another direction. There are many books, excellent books on Christian leadership these days, which talk about the qualities of a Christian leader. And we'll discuss this a little bit more in our lesson tomorrow. But I wanted to insert here simply at least one writer's opinion of what's involved in total Christian leadership, the character of a Christian leader. Now, this particular woman has 3 different areas. She talks about religious and moral characteristics, educational and executive abilities, and attractive personality traits. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but the first part, we're very familiar with consecration and unselfishness and sincerity and humility, these qualities of life. on the educational and executive abilities, I think to build a strong Christian character, you're talking about number C, for example. A willingness to work, industry, resourcefulness. Deal with that, a determination. These are qualities of Christian character. And under those attractive personality traits, I mark three or four that I think would be helpful for us. Sympathy. I think that's an important quality that you need as you work with youth especially. To let them know that you understand. That you're there with them. It may be sometimes these kids do something that's really far below the standard of a Christian. We need to learn how to minister to them in love. Where they know we understand, we don't in any way approve of what they've done, but we're still their friend. We still want to minister to them. I know Al, our youth minister, been working with a man in our group now that's fallen into grievous sin, and it's been a very difficult thing for Al to minister to this guy, but he's ministering in love, though he's done something that really embarrassed his youth group terribly as a youth leader. But we've got to understand, take people where they are and show love and sympathy. Be personal appearance, I think, is important. I'd like to sometime see what old Dr. Cullen had to say about that. It's really interesting about personal appearance. I think D down there is important. Tact. E certainly is important. Enthusiasm, optimism, courage. These are qualities that need to be found in us, man, if we have this Christian character. Look on the other side. Kindness, consideration, I, poise, and I underline tolerance. It's an important quality. And I made a big point of number J, sense of humor. I think that's important for us to be able to laugh at ourselves and to laugh at others. K, I think, is important. Promptness, regularity. M, cooperation. These are some qualities, then, that I think would be found in this when we talked about our definition. Thought and behavior patterns which reflect the glory of Christ. Now, we'll turn on the back side. I'm hurrying through this because I want to give you a chance to talk. Miss Preston suggested some things that we might could avoid. All forms of nervousness and restlessness and anxiety. Mannerisms that are detractive. Talking too much. Have you ever been around somebody that just talks all the time? You know, you really never get a chance to talk yourself. I think this is the thing we need to watch. We can talk too much. That's the reason I want to close this message in a minute. Got to be careful about criticism as a place for judgment and honesty. But there are some people who are just born in the critical mood. Losing your temper, getting the blues. Unsympathetic attitude. Having favorites. I think this is a thing we really need to watch in the ministry. I've tried to be the minister of all my people. I've never had a little inner clique. Though sometimes it would be nice to have a group where you could really be real close to them. I've never felt like that was what we need to be the minister of all people. Once you get yourself isolated from the group, you cut off a number of others. The handicap of not knowing organizational plans and methods. Habitual tardiness. Nagging. Doing too much yourself. These are the things that I think you just have to use as a checklist, and from time to time you'd have to just begin to say, is my character really a Christian character? There are 100 other things you could list here. But I wanted to close this by simply suggesting to you some ways that you can begin to develop your character. You're already on the job, I know. The first thing, you've got to start with the new birth. It simply says that you come to the place where you say, Lord, I empty myself, I die to self. And I just open my life to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can come and reproduce in me Jesus Christ. And that's just the beginning. The rest of life is the maturing of this process. Now, I've given you some aids, and we're going to talk about number one on Thursday. In developing character, an important part is your Bible reading, your prayer, and your worship life. But the second suggestion I want to make this is to keep great characters of the Bible and history in your heart and mind. Have them as your ideals. When I was coming along, before I ever felt the call to the ministry, I found myself reading great biographies. I've always enjoyed biographies. I think, for example, one thing that gave me a definite turn to the call of the minister was reading the biography of Dr. George Truett, who was the idol of young men back in my days. He was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas for many years. But I read books like Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Have you all read that book? That's a great book. I just finished reading a book I should have read years ago, Reese Howell's, H-O-W-E-L-L-S, I believe it is. Reese Howell's, his biography on intercessory prayer. That's a tremendous book. As Barry said, he just had to stop after every chapter and really drink some of that in. But you see, we need to keep before us these great characters of the Bible and the great men of history. I've read some tremendous biographies in my life. Borden of Yale, have you read that book? That book just really turned my life. It's been reproduced now in paperback, I believe. That's a tremendous book. I put down here, we develop into the likeness of a dominant imagery. We've got to have a goal before us. There's a story about a prince who was real stooped in body. He had the court artist to come and to carve a statue. The artist did not want to portray the prince all stooped and bent, so in his statue he had him strong and alert and vigorous. When the prince saw the statue, he was embarrassed because he knew he did not look like that. But he had the statue put far away in one of the gardens. And every day, according to the story, he would go and look at this strong, alert statue. And finally, he became like the statue. You and I need to keep before us these men of God, these women of God, as our great ideals of Christian character. Most of all, Jesus. I try in my life ever to be reading the Gospels or reading some story or some incident or book about Jesus. He's my ultimate. And day by day in my prayer life, when I come to my part of asking for myself, I go through a set of qualities in my prayer life. It may seem routine to you, but it's not routine at all to me. It's vital. I say, Lord Jesus, today I want those fruits of the Spirit to be a part of my life. I want just flowing out from me today your love and your joy and your peace and your patience and your kindness and your goodness and your humility. Those are the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And then through the years, I've added some more. I said, Lord, I want your vision. I want your courage. I want your wisdom. I want your power. I want your enthusiasm. I want your courage. I want your truthfulness. These have been qualities that I have continued to add in my prayer life, as I have seen shortcomings in my life where I needed to be sure that these qualities of Jesus needed to be flowing through my life. And I tell you, when you pray every day, Lord, will you let your Spirit come into my life, and will you let these things flow out of my life? Well, then they become a reality. Oh, I'm far from attaining, beloved, but I have found tremendous help in these areas of my life. As day by day, I've tried to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in my time of prayer. So, my point here, keep the great characters of the Bible, especially Jesus, as your ideal. Third, associate with those who will build your character. Seek out those friends who will build you up and be a friend to them. And then fourth, we learn out of life's experiences. God wants to give these things, but they can't become a reality until we put them into practice. He said, all these things, you recall that 2 Peter passage? All power to form you into godliness. But he said, work with all diligence. And so there is a place where we have to begin to put these things into practice. I've always been a very shy and timid kind of fellow. It's been hard for me to do anything that might embarrass anyone or ask anyone for anything. It's been very hard for me at this point. When I was in college, a group of us at BSU felt that it would be helpful to start a ministry among a youth camp that was just off the college campus. Back in those days, they had NYA, which was sort of a youth corps kind of a thing. And here were 200 or 300 boys paid by the government just to stay in those dormitories and learn some trades. And we just thought it would be a great thing for our BSU to go there and have a Bible study group. And so it was up to me to go make the arrangements. Well, now that'd be nothing to you folks. But for me to go and to talk to that man who was in charge of that NYE camp and say, can we come over and have a Bible study class in the dining hall on Sunday afternoon to minister to these boys? Well, that wouldn't be anything to you, but it was a big deal for me. I can picture that scene just as vividly now as when it first took place, and that's been nearly 40 years ago. I left the gymnasium section of NC State campus, and I walked on down an old creek, crossed the bridge, and started up where this camp was, and I got cold feet. I said, I can't do this. I can't do it. And I turned around and started back down the hill. But I finally mustered enough courage. I said, this is what we need to do, and I'm just going to do it. I went up there and met the guy, and he's one of the finest Christian men you've ever met in your life. He was just so warm and cordial to the idea. And we set up the arrangement, and for the next year or so, we had a marvelous ministry among those boys, teaching the Bible on Sunday afternoon. That helped me. If I had backed down the hill and not made that ultimate push to do that, it would have been even more difficult for me the next time, right? And that's the way it is in the developing of all of this business of Christian character. We've got to give all diligence. We said, Lord, give me the strength and the power to fulfill these goals that you have for me. Most of the time, these difficult situations are not nearly as bad as we think they are when we get into them. Like this guy, he was just so warm and beautiful. It was just wonderful. It was a blessing, but I had to make the struggle first. So that's what I'm trying to say. Learn from the experiences of life. Even when you have trouble, when you make mistakes, learn. And finally, let Jesus dwell in you fully. Your body, your mind, your spirit. When he's in you, you'll begin to develop Christian character. And the last statement is, only Christian character abides. When it's all done, all you're going to take with you is the sum total of your Christian character. That's all that's going to last as far as your personhood is concerned. He that doeth the will of God abides forever.